pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. See what we do Monday through Friday if you're new to the area or joining us on the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Duda and Tony Davis, that's us. We come in, we sit behind a mic, and we talk local, state, and national sports for about an hour. Then we get you back to the guys that say the same thing over and over and over. And then we'll do that at noon. Derek Stinson, doing the producer of the show, and we'd love to have your input, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the email address to the Tent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be giving away another Sun Heat system this week on the Doug and Daddy Show for the Hot Topic. And coming up on the program today, Paul Strelo from the state newspaper in South Carolina to preview Clemson as Clemson and Nebraska officially in the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day. So we'll be talking about that. You can give us a buzz at any time, 1-888-455-ESPN. Also invite you to go to our webpage at any time. You can listen to the show day or night on the podcast, live right now, and you can vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who will win the national championship, Florida or Oklahoma? Oklahoma, by the Las Vegas Sports Consultants, was installed as a 1.5-point favorite. And I believe it was the Hilton, the first one to come online, has Oklahoma as a 3-point favorite over a Florida team that needed a 14-point comeback in the fourth quarter to knock off Alabama. And for the second straight year, the Sugar Bowl is going to have an SEC team that is not happy taking on the wannabe. This year, the wannabe is Utah. And I don't know if you can compare Utah to Hawaii, but all that coming up, all that talk, NFL. Rough day. I'm glad Colin Cowherd tried to make me feel a little bit better today, saying that Dallas still had a chance, but you can't give away football games in the National Football League, and Dallas has done that a couple of times this year. But, Daddy, you want to start with college football, as it will be Texas going to the Fiesta Bowl to take on Ohio State, what could be an interesting football game. Remember, they played each other the last couple of years in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's an interesting game. I think Texas wins it handily, but I just go back to, I thought Texas deserved to play Oklahoma because I thought they were by far the best teams. I think the SEC, who's the marquee team? If you're looking at head-to-head losses, Florida losing to Ole Miss is way down the ladder from Texas, from Oklahoma losing to Texas. There's the one losses. And then when they put the coaches and how the coaches voted in the USA Today, I'm astonished when I see things like Mac Brown, who I expect to have Texas ahead of Oklahoma. I concede that point. Why the hell has he got Florida ahead of him? Why would you do that? Mac, do you not want to play in the game? If your vote is tallied, apparently Mac Brown doesn't really care to be in the game. Because he didn't do everything he could do.
Okay, give me Mac Brown's top five.
Mac Brown's top five is Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Penn State. Why would you have Florida number one? Why, Mac? If you're doing in your lobby and you want your kids to be in the title game, explain to me, Mac Brown, why you would vote. When that's a piece of you that has the opportunity to play for a national title, to bring home the BCS championship trophy that everybody wants, why would you rank Florida there? I don't understand that. And if I was in Texas, I'd be going nuts right now. If you're Bo Pelini, Oklahoma number one, Texas number two. There you go. It just makes perfectly good sense. You think you're in the best conference? You think you've showed that you're in the best conference? He's got Florida number three. Perfectly fine with that.
and he's got Nebraska number 22. That's what I'm looking at. He's got Nebraska number 22. Not very many people looking at the AP poll, or the coaches poll, excuse me. They are looking at the BCS poll. Oklahoma number one in the coaches poll, Florida second, Texas third, Alabama fourth, in a tie with Southern Cal. You look at that, and every team, when's the last time this happened? From number nine all the way up, nobody has more than one loss. When's the last time that happened?
About 1984. I mean, you got to go back a long time, because obviously there's some teams apparently, well, I don't know, because I think there's some bad conferences out there, including the Big Ten. I'm not sure the SEC is anything to brag about. I just, you look at these teams and you can say, well, we play defense. Well, I don't know. LSU didn't play much defense. Georgia Tech puts up 52 points or 42 points on Georgia. You know, this vaunted Bulldog thing. I mean, I don't understand where, you know, if you've got the best conference, Mac Brown, why do you have the audacity to put Florida number one? And I think Mac Brown ought to be drilled on that. I cannot believe he would do that. When that's a little bit, I still think, I just can't believe that it was such a lock, and nobody even brought up this weekend, except Dan Beebe, who was interviewed on the ABC telecast during the Big 12 championship game. You know, him saying, well, we think we've got two very deserving teams. That was the only person that I heard even remotely mention that there could be a game in which Oklahoma would play Texas for it all. That's the only person. I mean, it was just kind of a foregone conclusion that Florida comes from behind and scores 14 points in the last 9 minutes or 9.5 minutes, should be awarded a play in that game. And I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Your thoughts at 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Evidently, you've been talking to H-Man, because H-Man has fired off an email. He is not happy. Imagine that.
I have not talked to H-Man. I have not talked to H-Man. I don't know if you go around the Big 12, Gene Chizik, Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida. I don't care which way you've got Texas. I don't care which way, you know, Texas 1, Oklahoma 2, Oklahoma 1. I don't care. But if that's your conference, you want to stand up for your conference. You can't rank Florida number one, Mac Brown.
Well, let's don't leave the fans and the listeners waiting. It's time for an email from H-Man from Riverdale, who I believe may be the most hated emailer that the show has ever had, according to the rest of the contributors.
By the way, Art Briles has Texas at fifth. Dear Art, you are dumb. D-U-M.
Texas is going to drum you again next year. From H-Man from Riverdale. Greetings, sports fans. It's bad enough that the brain-dead American people allowed the morally corrupt national media to select our new king, president. But now a few select weasels of the national sports media are working overtime to convince every college football fan that Florida deserves, or they don't, to be in the BCS National Championship game. The BCS standings prior to this weekend were as follows. 1, Alabama. 2, Oklahoma. 3, Texas. And 4, Florida. Does it make sense that Alabama loses, Oklahoma wins, Texas didn't play, and Florida wins, that the BCS standings today would leave Oklahoma and Florida as the top two teams? What about Texas, H-Man says. In simpler terms, for all of you to understand, let's pretend that instead of Texas being third entering this past weekend, it was USC who was third. Does anyone believe Florida's come-from-behind win over Alabama would have allowed the national sports weasels to campaign for Florida to overtake USC? Of course not, says H-Man. This was a clear case of the national sports media doing everything in their power to inject an undeserving SEC team into the BCS National Championship game. This is a clear case of SEC puppets like Beano. Ron Paulus will win two Heismans. Cook, it was three, by the way, H, to promote the SEC. And oh, no. Oh, he's using words I don't understand sometimes. He's saying it is a charade that the SEC football is better than the Big 12. Now, if someone has to get jobbed, I'm glad it's Texas. Fact is, I think it's funny, hysterical, but it isn't right. Finally, H-Man says, the only thing we have from the BCS this year is a national championship game, where Oklahoma was beaten by 10 points by Texas on a neutral field against a media-selected Florida team that was beaten on their home field by a four-loss Mississippi team. Once again, the BCS got it wrong, but this year they got it wrong with a lot of help from a bunch of SEC puppets who just happened to work at ESPN, CBS, and ABC. Shame on these jerks. If you're still looking for turkeys, how about these turkeys of the year? H-Man from Riverdale.
Oh, H-Man's not wanting a turkey, is he?
H-Man wants a space heater, I think. Sun needs space. We'll put that in the hot topics. And there is your email from H-Man from Riverdale, who has a lot of good points. A lot of good points. And I think very interesting that we say if Texas wasn't number three and it was Southern Cal, don't you think Southern Cal be in the national championship game? Well, yes, I think they would, because the voters would have put USC ahead of Florida in the beginning. That would have been the start of that whole thing. But
by the way, Mike Leach has Texas at five also. He's got Texas Tech ranked second.
No.
Yes, he does. Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Florida. But see, that's a guy. I get that. He's standing up for his team. Mac, I just don't get it, Mac. I just, as smooth and as polished of a used car salesman as Mac Brown is, what is he doing?
Well, let's take a look at the bowl schedule and a lot of Big 12 teams getting in to a bowl game.
By the way, Mike Leach also has Nebraska 25.
Well, good for him. Notre Dame, they have accepted a bid to the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl. New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock Central Time. Yeah, good luck with that. Does that just seem wrong that the number one Catholic university in the nation is playing at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve? I don't know. Just a thought. Florida State ends up playing Wisconsin in the Champs Bowl. Many people thought that was going to be Nebraska's opponent. Miami of Florida ends up going to San Francisco to play Cal in the Emerald Bowl. Now, how about Big 12 teams? Well, and before we get to that, congratulations to Turner Gill at Buffalo. As I said on this show Friday, my lock of the year, Buffalo, to pull the upset maybe, at least to hang within the 15 points, and congratulations, and thank goodness Buffalo comes along. Tony, I want to get your thoughts on Big 12 teams going to bowl games. We'll take a break and come back. Missouri Northwestern, are we set up for another Kansas State-Purdue? A lot of people will be getting into their office pools for college football bowl games, and of course, Doug and Daddy's Johnny Casino's bowl pick'em will be coming your way as well. Our winners have a chance at the grand prize. All that is coming up. What kind of matchups will we have? You'll have teams that are hungry, like a Clemson and a Nebraska, and I think you'll have teams that aren't, and I think Missouri is going to be one of those teams. We'll talk about that and more. Plus, we'll catch up with Paul Strelo of the state newspaper in South Carolina to talk about Clemson and the Gator Bowl. Stay with us.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Yes, that about sums it up.
Don't get stuck this winter. All tires are on sale at the 13-hour tire sale, Monday, December 8th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at all Graham Tire locations. Our last big sale of the year. All Goodyear, Cooper, Dunlap, Hankook, and Kelly tires will be on sale. During the 13-hour sale only, purchase coupons for a lube, oil, and filter service for only $13.88. Limit 5 per person. Great for holiday gift giving. This is a one-day only sale, Monday, December 8th, so don't miss out. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
An exceptional camper sale. And now guess what? Trade-ins. We took a whole bunch of exceptional trade-ins, and now Jim says too many used on the lot at Eagle Crest. We need to have a used camper sale. These are really nice units, too, like this 95 pull-down priced at $3,300, or a 97 Mallard travel trailer, only $9,500. So this 2001 Wilderness fifth wheel, $15,500. They gotta go! That's why we're having this super huge used camper sale today on West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
If you've had the misfortune of never venturing inside the chicken coop, here's what you've been missing. The chicken coop is the perfect place to gather to watch sports because there are screens everywhere. And you can enjoy your favorite drinks, domestic beers, and microbrews. But the chicken coop is more than sports. It's also a family-friendly eatery that serves food like ribs, pizza, steaks, and wings. Speaking of wings, come in and try the two new flavors, jalapeno garlic and honey barbecue. Find out why so many people flock to the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
When the weather forecasters say partly cloudy and you have to blow 10 inches of that stuff out of the driveway, you might want to click on ESPNSuperstation.com to find out what other plans have been changed. Click the weather threat button. Brought to you by Fidelity Heating and Air of Kearney. Remember, even when the weather stops you, nothing stops a train.
The agents were catching up on their paperwork and waiting for the rain to stop when a very unusual man walked in.
I want to buy some of thine insurance.
Boy, that rain is really something, huh?
So what kind of coverage are you looking for?
Something for thy boat and thy livestock.
What kind of boat do you have?
I have a Stint Ark.
How do you spell that?
Just like Arkansas, but thou leavest off the and saw after the K.
Now for the livestock. You got cattle?
Two.
Hogs?
Two.
Horses?
Two.
Alpacas?
Barney Insurance. Call us at 237-2222.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area as we head through the day today with a high temperature up in the lower 40s. Winds will also turn to the northeast at 5 to 15 miles per hour. And I will see a chance of a rain-snow mix turning into all snow late with a coating up to 2 inches possible by Tuesday morning. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 37.
Dwayne Denny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Later in the program, the return of Daddy's favorite sport. But don't forget, tonight, it is the return of Monday Night Football. The perfect place to watch it is the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. From kickoff to close during Monday Night Football, it's $2 you call it. Almost every drink in the house, $2. If you have enjoyed a great weekend of college and NFL football, well, then cap it off tonight at the Chicken Coop. And, of course, don't forget to come in early. Catch a great meal, whether you're really hungry and want a steak or some ribs, or you just need a sandwich, pulled pork, a hamburger, prime rib sandwich, a cheeseburger. Maybe you want a salad. Maybe you want wings and more. Maybe you want some balls of cheese.
Maybe you want the peppercorn steak.
So good. I just slobbered on the coffee. Of course, there's Keno as well, and your favorite drink specials are always there. And don't forget them for lunch. It's lunchtime. Why not kick back with your friends and talk about what happened over the weekend at the Chicken Coop today. Great lunch specials every day, open 7 days a week. High-definition televisions all over the place, so there's not a bad seat in the house. And again, don't forget tonight from kickoff to close as Carolina takes on Tampa Bay. It's Monday Night Football, $2 you call it, at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Ken fires in. The Pittsburgh Steelers would like to thank Coach Cupcake and Company for the Christmas present they received yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's go back to college football. Daddy, Big 12. Missouri Northwestern, I just want your gut feeling right off the get-go. The points are not out for any game except for the BCS 5, and we'll get to those in a minute. Missouri Northwestern, Alamo Bowl.
Well, I think you set it up perfect. I mean, how excited can Missouri be to go there?
Missouri should crush this team without being fired up, but we will see. Oklahoma State, Oregon, Holiday Bowl. I think this could be a fun one.
Up and down the field. I think this could be. That's one that's just going to go back and forth. I mean, you're going to see that reflected in the over-under, too, of 80 points. I mean, it'll be something ridiculous.
Did Oregon put all their eggs in beating Oregon State, keeping them out of the Rose Bowl? Oklahoma State's going somewhere where they haven't been in a while. So, good one there. Kansas, Minnesota in the Insight Bowl.
See, this is a totally different Minnesota team. What a great turnaround for them. You know, they're good. You see, I think that's a great matchup because you got a team in the Big Ten that's all sorts of fired up after a year ago being terrible.
Yeah, but they were off to such a good start, kind of limped home. I think this is Kansas. They finished strong since losing to Nebraska. I like Kansas here. Iowa's going to play South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. See, another one of those games where you get the same damn teams every year playing that morning game January 1st in the Outback Bowl. Of course, Nebraska and Clemson in the Gator Bowl. Then you get to the BCS. You've got Ohio State, Texas in the Fiesta Bowl.
See, once again, I'm not sure that, but you got to know. I mean, is Texas? It's a BCS game. I think it's on a grand stage. I think you're excited anytime you get one of those BCS games. So it's not like you're in the Sun Bowl, or you know, you think you should be on New Year's Day, or you know, or playing in a better game at night. With the lights on you. I think Texas comes out. I think the talent talent disparity between those two teams is pretty lopsided in Texas' favor.
The Cotton Bowl is where Texas Tech ends up to take on Ole Miss.
See, that's another one. That,
at least they're not playing at 10 in the morning anymore. It'll be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Fox. But what do you think? Texas Tech, Ole Miss?
Well, I think Texas Tech's going to be able to score a whale of a bunch of points. I just, granted,
Miss
people are healthy.
Florida.
Yeah. At Florida, wasn't it? Not at Florida. I just don't get it. I don't know how these things happen.
And your early thoughts on Oklahoma, Florida? I got some of your early thoughts yesterday. Do you still feel that way?
I just don't see how Florida's going to stop this team. Sam Bradford now 48-6 touchdown interception ratio. I'm trying to get people who's going to win the Heisman. I mean, you can make a case for you want a winner. You know, the kid won it last year, Tim Tebow. You want to go to Bradford 48-6. You want to go to Colt McCoy, who not only puts up unbelievable passing numbers, but he's also rushed for 600 yards and the team leader in Texas in rushing. I draw it out of a hat. You know, as far as the Heisman goes, my early feeling in that Oklahoma deal, though, is how is Florida going to stop that team? That offensive line, I said during the year, you might have to go back 5 years to find a better offensive line in college football. You get to the outside, it looked like Missouri had walls of people set up on the outside. The running back, apparently there's a hole there because he flies through there and picks up 8 yards every time. It's 6, it's 9, it's 11 every time. And I don't think Florida's going to... You can say what you want. Florida's got, you know, these playmakers, and I just think the pressure... And we're going to have to see about Oklahoma's defense. Is it... You know, that's been the debate. That's been the knock on the Big 12. Are these offenses... Yes, will people out there, you know, from the national picture, they can see that the quarterbacks are undisputably the best, you know, the first 8 in the Big 12, top to bottom. But the defenses, are they bad? Are they suspect? That's what the bowl season's going to tell us.
Tim and Carney fires in. Hey, guys, I made the trip to Kansas City for the Big 12 championship game and had two quick thoughts. One, Oklahoma really hates Texas. Some of the signs were great and even witty for an OU fan. There must have been some Texas booster purchasing a banner I saw behind an airplane. The banner said, enjoy the beatbytexas.com bowl, which is an actual website, of course, for Longhorn Nation. Along with 4535.com, I think it is. Second, Missouri fans hate everyone. And boy, are they whiners. When they announced the Big 12 athlete humanitarian type of awards, they booed any Kansas, Nebraska, or Texas player. Even before the beatdown got bad, they complained about everything that went against their precious Tigers. The stadium was vacant of 80% of the black and yellow when the teams came back from halftime. Yeah, you could tell on TV there wasn't anybody around in the second half of that football game. Tim goes on to say, as far as the BCS, if the system is designed to get it right and get the supposed two best teams playing for all the marbles, why can't they arrange the other matchups to be ones that people would like to see in some fashion of a third-place game? Instead of the tired Texas-Ohio State game, why not Texas-Alabama? That would support or take away Texas's argument. Tim and Carney, keep that one. Racket.
Yeah.
Post it. Paper punch it.
Hot. You know what? Has that not been the argument all year? Whose conference is better? The SEC says theirs is, the Big 12 says now it's kind of falling to the Big 12. Well, match up these teams.
Well, yeah, I think, but that's about the only one. Yeah, that's about the only one. Thank God it's Virginia Tech and Cincinnati. You could have screwed up 3 of the 5 bowls. I mean, you could have...
Instead, there's only 2 screwed
up. Well, you could have Ohio State against Cincinnati, Texas against Virginia Tech. You know, and then Utah take it on Alabama. I mean, that's the way it could be. But the Orange Bowl, once again, Virginia Tech, Cincinnati.
Well, at least they've got the title. I mean, that's a...
By the way, that's a pick'em early in Vegas. Southern Cal, 10-point favorite over Penn State. This is going to crush Joe Bob. Also, 11-point favorite, Alabama over Utah. Texas is an 8-point favorite over Ohio State.
It's a little tighter than maybe I expected.
And as we said, 1.5 for Florida over Oklahoma.
Is our coverage
over under, by the way, is 73, not 80.
Yeah.
73. No, those are the only, no other, at least 4 or 5 places I checked had anything out. I'm sure that those should be out sometime by the end of the day.
I think it'll be interesting. I think that, is there one bowl game, Doug, when you look at them? Is there one bowl game when you pan down the list and you go, yeah, that's a great game, that's
something
a good
match. You want to watch, yeah, something that's interesting, whether they're good or not. Well, I just want to let you know that the bowl season begins with a quadruple header on Saturday, December 20th, 10 a.m. from RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., the Midshipmen of Navy, who embarrassed Army, good Lord, takes on Wake Forest, followed by Colorado State, Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl. Then how about the Magic Jack St. Petersburg Bowl, South Florida against Memphis, and the Las Vegas Bowl. We'll wrap things up December 20th as BYU takes on Arizona. And don't forget, December 21st, after your NFL contest, you have a chance to double up your winnings as Southern Miss takes on Troy in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
I think Oklahoma State.
Well, how about Ball State Tulsa towards the end here? Ball State should have something to prove after losing to Buffalo and Tulsa. I mean, those are two teams that could put up some points. That'll be a fun game to watch. I don't know. Did you have one in mind? I mean, there's some real yawners out here. Who wants to watch Florida Atlantic get killed by Central Michigan in the Motor City Bowl?
Well,
you got West Virginia,
Houston,
North Carolina, Air Force, NC State, Rutgers. No. I think Oklahoma State, Oregon. That's going to be a fun one. And that'll be in the Holiday Bowl. And hopefully the holiday basketball tournaments will be over early enough in the day that I can watch most of that one. So I think that'll be interesting. The Sun Bowl ended up getting Oregon State and Pitt. You know, how things change. Notre Dame beat Syracuse. That would be Nebraska and Pittsburgh, most likely, in the Sun Bowl against Stevie P. That a month of that would have been ahead of us. Also,
wouldn't that have been uncomfortable for a lot of people?
If Oregon State would have beaten Oregon, most likely that could have been Southern California or Oregon in the Sun Bowl. I mean, there was a chance they could have dropped that for.
I got you. I'm with you. Love that. Yeah. I think LSU Georgia Tech. Can LSU, who struggle playing defense, can they step up?
We're going to watch different games.
I think that, you know, that offense with Georgia Tech's that triple option and people getting to the outside, and they just don't have a lot of answers for them. We'll see if one of the SEC teams that entered the year, you know, ranked, you know, pretty high as well. They come in the game 7-5. Let's see if they can shut that down.
Coming up, Paul Strelo from the state newspaper to talk Gator Bowl with us. Fast Willie chimes into the Dent Popper inbox. Dent Popper, home of the... What?
Payless Dent.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
Well, something. I just can't wait for this.
Yeah, well, anyway, Armor Lighting, been there taking care of you for years. Stop in, get a free estimate today if your vehicle wants to look better, be tougher. Kind of like the Steve Deacon's tough. Fast Willie says, is there a reason why you guys are avoiding NFL talk on this wonderful Monday? We'll talk Gator Bowl when we come back on the Doug and Danny Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell.
Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd on ESPN Radio. I've said it before, I won't endorse a company unless I know the people who run it and I buy into them. Well, that's what you get with Vizio, the number one U.S.-based flat panel TV company in America. I've got two Vizios myself, and I've been saying this now for over a year. With a rough economy, why pay for gas, parking, food, stay at home? Watch it on TV. Say it out loud. Better quality at lower prices. It makes a lot of sense. VizioTV.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Keith Jackson for FreeCreditReport.com. In the grand old game of life, your credit score could cost you or save you a lot of money. That's why it's so important to check your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com, and faster than you can say, oh, Nelly, you'll see your credit score and credit report online. You can even print it out if you want to. Stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com.
Offer applies with Roman and Triple Advantage.
At the Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill, we think football is just about the best game ever created.
Baby, come on, baby!
And that's why on game day, you can't do better than Bullseye. Watch every Husker game on the Bullseye big screens. On Sunday, it's NFL ticket time with your choice of seven different games at once. You and your friends will enjoy ice cold beer and drink specials. And Munchies, oh my, do we have you covered with appetizers, sandwiches, half-pound burgers, and more. Bullseye's at 2017 West 2nd Street in Hastings. Open at 11 a.m. noon on Sunday.
Certainly take their football seriously, don't they?
Tonight, it's a battle for supremacy in the NFC South as Jake DeLome and the Carolina Panthers host Jeff Garcia and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason of Westwood One. Join me and Marv Albert live from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte for this first-place showdown. It's going to be huge. The winner has the inside track on both the division title and a bye in the NFC playoffs. The Bucs, the Panthers. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here.
Tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area as we head through the day today with a high temperature up to the lower 40s. Winds will also turn to the northeast at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a chance of a rain-snow mix turning into all snow late with a coating up to 2 inches possible by Tuesday morning. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 37.
A lot of high school sports over the weekend, but boy, Grand Island, great job starting off the year winning the Kearney High Invitational. 9 finalists, 9 champions.
Whoa, that's incredible, Mr.
Andrew Reedy, Blake Fruchtel, Mike Bolin, Alex Chantapetit, also
Sam
Rice Chantapetit, also from Grand Island, Riley Allen, Alan Taylor, Nate Westerby, Jesse Janilevich, all champions. And they win the team title with 267 points. Kearney had 4 champs at 205.5. So those two teams are going to be seeing a lot of each other, I have a feeling, as the year progresses. Congratulations there.
How many people are in the finals for Kearney?
I think they went 4-1, Tony.
4-1, okay, fair enough.
4-2 in the finals, excuse me, 4-2 in the finals. And Alex Chantapetit was named the most outstanding wrestler of the meet. Congratulations to the Ravenna girls and the Grand Island Central Catholic boys capturing the Hastings College Tournament to start the season off. Got to see all of those fine athletes this weekend, and more coming up as the week progresses on Power 99, ESPN Radio, 1230 KHAS. Hastings women suffering their first loss of the year to Mount Marty. Kind of got bumped.
Well, you know what? Don't panic. They never have in the past at Hastings.
No. Usually they drop a couple right out of the gate and then run off 30 in a row. But the men win their 4th in a row. They will continue conference action at home against Dana and all the other players in their family. Or, wait a minute, that's Dana. That's coming up Wednesday. UNK men fall to Dixie State on Friday. They will be in action this weekend. Men and women begin conference play. That lovely trip starts in Colorado State, Pueblo, and then out to New Mexico Highlands. And they'll be back sometime Sunday night. Yeah, exactly.
Or early Monday morning.
And the Tri-City Storm. 6-2, 6-2. They were swept out in a tennis match this weekend, but they lost both. Derek, what's going on with our Storm, buddy?
That's your young team. Just can't put things together on defense, it looks like. And obviously giving up more goals than they're scoring. So
it seems like some nights they just click, though.
Yeah, it seems
weird. And other nights, they're not getting beat 3-2.
And it's something I've talked with Coach about, too. It's just inconsistency with a lot of the new faces. It's their first year in the USHL. A lot of those guys still adapting, catching up to the speed of the game and whatnot. But basically, it just boils down to it's a pretty young team and still adjusting to the speed of the game, just having problems on defense, have some injuries, too. So
goaltending just hasn't been where it needs to be.
Yeah,
they're getting too many shots on goal.
That's the case, too, a lot of times, is the other opposition's just getting some quality shots at times, quality scoring opportunities, and the Storm aren't getting as many quality shots. So, and with Danny Heath, the best defenseman, going down early in the season, he's out until February, so that hurts, too.
And you know what, though? It seems like once these guys do start to click, they're going to kick a lot of ass.
Oh, yeah, they can put some goals in. I tell you what, sometimes their power, I mean, when they get on the power play, they look great. They're putting shots on goal. I mean, they work together well at times. And then at times, just things aren't clicking like you say. So if they can put it all together, I mean, go on a run, win a couple games in a row, they could be right back in the hunt. So we'll see.
Hey, don't forget, Misco Sports has everything you need to show off your team spirit, and it is holiday time. So Misco's welcomes you in for a little holiday shopping. Misco's has the latest hooded sweatshirts and knit caps and Huskers, loafers, and your favorite college and NFL teams. You can also get hoodies and caps by Nike and Adidas in plenty of fashionable colors. And Misco's has a great selection of Columbia coats in stock, 25% off. Keep you warm and looking good at Misco's Sports, whether it's for you, the kids, the adults, the teenager, whatever. You go in and get them a travel bag. Go in and get them a hat of their favorite team, whether it's college or NFL. A great selection of Husker and Loper gear as well at Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. Greg Maddux will officially announce his retirement later today in Las Vegas. Daddy, is Greg Maddux the greatest pitcher of our generation? And I include Roger Clemens in there.
Well, you got to think for the win total. Obviously, they just flashed up 355 wins, something. You know, to hit that magical 300 mark, something we may never see another pitcher do, in our lifetime. So that's a special number. And for somebody that didn't overwhelm people, a lot of 82, a lot of 84-mile-an-hour fastballs.
And played for the Braves and Cubs. You got to like that. I mean, he did make a mistake going out as a Dodger, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
He cashed all their checks.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Maddux or Clemens or somebody else.
Well, you'd have to put Maddux because of the obvious scandal involving Clemens and all that that goes with Clemens.
Daddy, we had to wait a week in Nebraska. They found out a little bit earlier at Clemson that they would be headed to the Gator Bowl as the ACC representative. And Nebraska and Clemson will be battling on New Year's Day. And we just don't know a whole lot about Clemson football, except from what we've seen, that they have a different coach. And this team is, at least on the surface, seems a lot different at the end of the season than they were at the beginning.
Well, you mentioned the beginning of the season. It was no surprise that they'd be playing in a New Year's Day bowl game because they were so highly ranked. But the way the season started and things kind of fell apart, a coaching change like you mentioned. And we're pleased to be joined right now to talk about all that with Paul Strelo from the state newspaper in South Carolina. Paul, good morning and welcome.
How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good. And I guess, as we said, Clemson, this is a different team almost totally than what was at the beginning of the season. They go to a New Year's Day bowl, and what a turnaround. Or was it a turnaround? Because I've seen a lot of people say, you know what, the three losses when Clemson was 3-3 don't look as bad today as they did then.
It was a turnaround, in as much from the morale and just the thought that the season could be something. And it all kind of happened. And Tommy Bowden has to get a little credit for stepping down before he was going to get fired, just to kind of get out of the way, because with every loss, the negative sky is falling atmosphere kind of seeped into this team, and bringing in a new coach brought in some hope, and they have turned around. They're not world beaters now by any stretch, but they're playing with much more aggression, and the real difference is probably evident on offense, where they have a little bit more of a downfield passing game and do a little bit better job of getting the ball to their playmakers.
Paul, I guess football is such an emotional game. How's these kids' psyches as you saw them throughout all this?
I think it's the real testament of this team is it's a pretty senior-laden team, and particularly when the ACC title went out of the picture mathematically. The team didn't really fold. The locker room didn't necessarily divide, and there weren't a bunch of seniors just out playing for their own NFL stock. They pretty well stayed together and kept playing hard throughout the course of the season. I think the New Year's Day bowl game against a name opponent like Nebraska is what they view as their reward for doing so.
Paul Strelo from the state newspaper joining us here to talk Clemson, Nebraska, and Gator Bowl coming up on New Year's Day. Paul, would you say Clemson was overrated at the beginning of the season, or is this the team that everybody thought they would have if they reached their potential? Just kind of your characterization of maybe how good this team was supposed to be and how good they really are right now.
I don't think there's any fact or any doubt that they were overrated. In large measure, this is the same team that they had last year that went 8-9-4 and lost the Peach Bowl game to Auburn. They still have the same problems on the offensive line, youth inexperience, and not that much talent, and weren't very good at the linebacker position. We're going to have to compensate for that. And so they still have the same weaknesses there, and Alabama really exposed those in the season opener and made them look like what they are, which is a team is probably in the between number 20 to number 40, and there's a huge mix of those kind of teams out there, where one of those teams that can beat and can play with most teams on any given day, but isn't going to put it together consistently over the course of the season. To hopefully answer your question, they were overrated at the beginning of the year, but they're not a bad team by any stretch.
Paul, I want to go back to something you said earlier, and they could have played for their own NFL stock and whatnot. How many people on this Clemson Tiger team are expected to be drafted?
Oh, probably. I would say 5 to 7. You got a senior quarterback in Cullen Harper and senior running back in James Davis, who don't have quite the seasons that they had hoped to do to kind of live up to their preseason billing. But our guys are going to be mid to late rounders, I think. C.J. Spiller, their junior running back, is a dynamic player who I think, even though he says he's undecided, everyone expects to go and be a first-round draft pick in the mold of a Felix Jones, Chris Johnson. They've got a senior receiver in Aaron Kelly who's going to be a mid to late round pick, and one or two defensive guys headlined by safety Michael Hamlin, who are probably second to fifth, sixth rounders.
Paul, coaching situation, you mentioned to us when we were talking to you earlier that the hype of the actual game hasn't come up yet because Dabo Swinney just last week had the interim tag removed. When that happened, defensive coordinator takes off, and Koning leaves the program. I guess on the surface to me, evidently those two didn't get along. Tell us what that was all about and who's going to take care of defensive coordinator duties.
Defensive coordinator duties are going to be shared by the inside linebackers coach, David Blackwell, and the outside linebackers coach, Ron Webb, both guys who've been on staff for a long while. It wasn't as much that Dick Koning and Davis when he didn't get along as that they had philosophical differences in terms of Koning likes to run a lot more zone coverage and a little more sit back and you make the opponent make the mistake and not give up a big play. Dabo Swinney likes to run more man coverage, tight man coverage, be a little more aggressive, a little more high risk, high reward. And I think over time as Dabo started mandating a little more of those man coverages, that probably rubbed Dick Koning the wrong way. And so that really at the end of the year kind of led to that change.
Paul Strudler from a state newspaper in South Carolina joins us to talk about Clemson Tiger, Nebraska upcoming Gator Bowl. Paul, I guess you go back to Dabo Swinney. Talk about him and talk about what he brings to this football team personality-wise.
Well, coming into the year, I won't say everyone, but Dabo's reputation is that as a recruiter. He's a great salesman. He's a high-energy, really positive-type person who also will lay into guys whenever he wants them to perform better. And so I think he's had the respect of a lot of people and isn't really necessarily the player's coach mold that maybe a Bill Stewart at West Virginia gets tagged with as being a Mr. Soft, nice guy. And so I think that Dabo was a guy they really rallied around, and you kind of see why, in a sense, that the athletic director took a chance and put the interim tag on a guy who had never even been an offensive coordinator before. Saw a lot of those tangibles, those leadership intangibles, that not only the players rally around, but has really gotten fans to buy into.
Paula, when this game comes around, just taking a look at some notes here the last few days, you've got running back coming back from a hamstring injury, playing well here in the last month. But overall, when we play this Gator Bowl on January 1st, who are Nebraska fans going to see stand out for the Clemson Tigers, or at least going to have to if they're going to win a football game?
The guy that's going to be the focal point of Nebraska's defense is the junior running back, C.J. Spiller. Strangely, doesn't start because of senior Davis, but they split time, and they try and get them both on the field at the same time. Spiller's the guy that's been compared to Reggie Bush for many years, guy who catches passes. They use him in that sense, use him in a screen game, kind of a dynamic east-west type runner who can turn anything into a 60-yard touchdown run. He's kind of going to be the focal point and the standout, the name that people are going to remember.
Paul, I guess everybody, you say Clemson football and every atmosphere in college football is different, but Death Valley, Howard's Rock, people, that's things that stand out. How difficult is Clemson to play a home game in today, or is that kind of a thing of the past? It's kind of a myth.
I won't say it's a thing of the past. I'd say it's clearly an SEC passion around here for Clemson football, and people will say it's probably one of the two, three toughest places to play in the ACC, particularly if it's a night game and the certain circumstances surrounding it. Now, it may not have been as tough this year when you realize expectations aren't going to be met and there isn't quite the fervor. But if there's a big game atmosphere,
Memorial Stadium's as tough a place to play in as there is.
Hey, and Paul, we'll let you get out of here with this. A lot of people, you know, Gator Bowl after Nebraska, after Notre Dame lost, and Nebraska was assumed to beat Colorado, which just about didn't happen. But everybody thought it was going to be Nebraska, Florida State. All of a sudden, Clemson gets this win. Did Clemson go up a notch in maybe the bowl consideration simply because they travel well, or is this a deserved spot for them to be?
I don't know how you really allot deserved spots in the ACC where you had 10 teams within one conference game of each other. It kind of goes head-to-head, and in that sense, that's travel and fan base is kind of why Florida State's up there, too. And so either one you can make that argument for. I think one thing that in talking to Rick Catlett, the Gator Bowl president, for the last couple of years and tracking how the ACC Bowls are going to shake out, a real theme among the ACC Bowl tie-ins at least, is momentum going into the postseason. You want teams that where the fans are going to be excited because they're coming off a win and they have reason to travel. And that was kind of a knock against Florida State is they're not going to have reason to travel day where Florida State's going to be there or Clemson to be there for a couple days. Plus their fans are going to travel because they've won their last three games. And so it all kind of ties in. Semantical argument either way, but so part of it is a large part of the economics, but I don't think it's the only factor.
Well, we're looking forward to playing somebody a little different, first time since the 82 Orange Bowl, and as they said, it worked out well for Clemson that day down in Miami. Paul Strelow from the State newspaper joined us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, thanks so much for the time.
Gentlemen, appreciate it, and we'll see you here in about a month.
Sounds good. We will see you January 1st. It is the bowl game that Nebraska fans have been waiting for as they take on Clemson. Line's not out yet, Daddy. What do you think it'll be?
I'm thinking Nebraska's going to be favored just slightly, maybe 2 or 3 points.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got breaking news. Well, it's not breaking news, but it is news about Daddy's favorite sport. Plus, we'll see how we did in Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em over the weekend, how Daddy's selections went, and more right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
Friday is Vital Statistics Night. We'll be giving out Social Security numbers.
Every time you go online, you could be announcing your Social Security or credit card numbers to identity thieves. Why risk the nightmare of having your identity stolen? Trend Micro Internet Security Pro provides smart security for total online safety when you shop, bank, and browse.
To lead off, my Social Security number is 555.
Internet Security Pro from Trend Micro. Maximum security. Online freedom.
If a stiff neck or an aching back is preventing you from working out, playing with your kids, or just enjoying special events, SalonPaws can help. SalonPaws, they're medicated patches that provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck or aching back, just lasting relief. Get back to enjoying the life you deserve with SalonPaws, available at major drugstores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
SalonPaws, SalonPaws, be more active.
People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think. Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area as we head through the day today with a high temperature up in the lower 40s. Winds will also turn to the northeast at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a chance of a rain snow mix turning to all snow late with a coating up to 2 inches possible by Tuesday morning. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 37.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, one good thing came out of the Steelers' come-from-behind win over Dallas yesterday. Samuel Lewis Charles of North Miami Beach, Florida, wins $1 million. If you're on ESPN.com, you've been seeing the streak. And if anyone, you know, they'd have up in the corner, you pick the game. And if you could predict 25 consecutive winners, then you would win $1 million if you were the first to do it. Well, there was a couple of people that got to 24 and didn't win number 25. God, how sick would that make you feel? But yesterday's come-from-behind victory, pending verification of his eligibility, will be his 25th consecutive victory. He won his 23rd game on November the 24th and got his 24th win Sunday when Tampa Bay beat New Orleans on a field goal in the final 2 minutes. He was able to wait for the right opportunity as several players with streaks in the low 20s lost games within the last week. But he began way back in the World Series when he took Tampa Bay over the Philadelphia Phillies in Game 2 of the World Series. Since then, wins have come exclusively on college football, NFL, and NBA action. So $1 million.
25 in a row. We're talking winners, winners. We're talking Dinah Grow. That's right. And they want you to know they've still got Yield Guard VT Triple. Why would you plant Yield Guard VT Triple?
Plant Dinah Grow.
For improved consistency, better insect protection, better root protection. It's got the Roundup Ready 2 technology system, broad spectrum weed control, proven crop safety, VT Triple, the stacked hybrids with enhanced trait performance. All that equals profitability to your farming operation. 1-800-652-9298. That's where it is. Quality is not just a word at Dyna-Grow. They've got the outstanding products for your farming operation. Call your local Dyna-Grow seeds dealer today or call 1-800-652-9298.
It's been a while since we've talked about it, but it is Daddy's favorite sport. It's his guilty pleasure. We have news from the Nebraska women's bowling team. All right.
All the way from Jackson, Mississippi. The number 3 Nebraska bowling team closed out its fall season in superior fashion as it claimed its third tournament title of the season at the Capital City Collegiate Classic on Sunday afternoon. They rolled a total pinball of 12,900 in the 3-day tournament, almost 900 pins above those chumps from Arkansas State.
Hey, let's get them in football.
Individually, Nebraska placed 4 Huskers on the all-tournament team. Erin McCarthy, a freshman from Millard North, captured her first top place finish with a collegiate career average high of 236. Congratulations to her. Also, sophomore Katie Ann Sopp of Circle Pines, Minnesota, earned a second place finish with a 216 average. So congratulations. They will be back in action January 16th through the 18th, the Midwinter Classic in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Well, at least somebody hit something yesterday because it sure wasn't the Nebraska men's basketball team. No. How long were they on 27? As they shoot 29% in a 64-44 loss to Arizona State, a team they hung with. But I'm afraid this is what Nebraska fans are going to have to expect when the Big 12 rolls around. They can't play anybody inside. They got nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And Arizona State was able to exploit them in that venue. Nebraska volleyball team, boy, a little scare against Liberty, but then they just crush Alabama-Birmingham. They will play Friday night, 8 o'clock, against Michigan. Washington will be taking on Utah, I believe it is, in the other Sweet 16 matchup there.
You know what? It comes down to Washington. It's Washington, Nebraska for all the marbles.
Nebraska women gave a heck of a fight to Ohio State, had a big halftime lead, but it slipped away, 69-65. How long can they keep this up? They're playing great without Kelsey Griffin, but how long can they keep it up?
Well, you know, just every bit of confidence is going to add to this team. I think that was probably the big thing without Kelsey Griffin. You had a lot of doubt in your mind, can we play at this level? And they're certainly showing that they can, so heck, keep it going.
Finally, Tony, your Division II national volleyball champions, Concordia St. Paul, back-to-back. They win 2 in a row. They went 5 to win it yesterday. That's the team that eliminated UNK in 5. I'm just saying, how close were they? The Lopers were up 2-1 on Concordia St. Paul in the second round, and St. Paul pretty much blitzed everybody the rest of the way until the finals this weekend.
Mr. Squires, if you've got your ballot out, rank yourself number 2, damn it.
Hey, coming up, we've got some more great guests that we're lining up for you the rest of the week as we continue to talk the BCS Nebraska football talk coming your way tomorrow as they get ready. We'll see where Turner Gill might be going. Probably not going to be at Buffalo next year, you think, Tony?
No, he's not going to be at Buffalo, but there's a lot of jobs out there that have interest in him. And I don't think Syracuse. I'm not sure he's that interested in Syracuse.
Hey, we want to thank Paul Strelo from the state newspaper, talk Clemson football on the Doug and Daddy Show today, and the Omaha World Herald All-State Volleyball and Football teams out over the weekend. Congratulations to all that those that made it, especially the kickers and punters. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
1460, 1550, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.